brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, everyone. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur News, episode 018-1028-2014. Let's roll into article number one, where pot is legal. Seattle Cannabis Edible Company hopes to bring product to Alaska. Take it away.
Where pot is legal, Seattle Cannabis Edibles Company hopes to bring product. Source Alaska Dispatch News. By Laurel Andrews. What would legalized marijuana look like in the last frontier? Alaskans are in the midst of the debate surrounding Ballot Measure 2, the initiative seeking to legalize, tax and regulate recreational marijuana. In late September, Alaska Dispatch News headed to Washington State to see how the fledgling industry is taking shape and how legalized marijuana is affecting the state's economic and cultural landscape. Last of four parts. Seattle, at first glance, DB3 Incorporated's downtown Seattle factory appears like any other. White walls, tile floors. A staging room stacked with plastic-wrapped cardboard boxes. Employees in white lab coats and hairnets buzz around the sterile and spacious factory floor. But what's being produced here is on the cutting edge of a new industry, one that lies at the heart of Alaska's debate surrounding marijuana legalization. In the former life, the warehouse was a processing plant for chicken salad. Now, it's mass-producing some of the first recreational marijuana edibles and concentrates in Washington, following the passage of Initiative 502, which legalized recreational marijuana in the state. This is a pioneering industry, co-owner Patrick Devlin said. It's all groundbreaking. Brothers Patrick, Dan and Michael Devlin are hoping to stake their claim in Washington's green rush as entrepreneurs scramble to cash in on the newly legalized marijuana market. The company's Zoops product line will be some of the first edibles sold. Each brother brings a different specialty to the business. Patrick Devlin, 61, comes from a marketing background. Dan, 65, is a business development specialist with a master's degree in business from Harvard. Michael, 53, has worked for more than 30 years in food manufacturing. "We all had to convince our wives about the venture," Patrick Devlin said with a laugh. After 16 months of market research, $1.75 million in investment and a mountain of anxieties, the products were nearly ready for rollout in late September. With its work just starting to come to fruition, the company already has its eyes set on the last frontier, where questions about edible marijuana products, from overdose risk to child safety, have become a focal point for Alaskans weighing whether to vote to legalize. "We hope to be in Alaska actually soon, if the residents choose to legalize," Patrick Devlin said. The company would sell its proprietary information to partners up north, he explained. Plans to expand to Colorado are already in the works. Devlin wants to redefine the stoner image. He imagines consuming the company's edibles while sitting around having a great conversation with your friends. "It's a different way to look at it," Devlin said. "They're not medical products, they're intoxicants, and we embrace that. Our slogan is, 'Stoned is then, Zoots is now,'" Devlin said. At the warehouse, in a white, sterile room, a dozen employees were bustling around an assembly line, taking bottles filled with tan-colored liquid from the line, and pouring the contents into bowls. Employees were ensuring that each bottle was filled with the exact amount of concentrate, Devlin explained. "Our whole thing is about precision," Devlin said as he watched the employees. "There will be 100 milligrams of THC in each bottle, and each teaspoon will be 10 milligrams," he said, referring to the psychoactive component of marijuana. "The concentrate will be marketed as Zoot Drops, which," Devlin said, "will come in both energizing and relaxing blends consumers can drink straight or mix into a beverage. A second product, Zoot Blast, is designed as single-serving shots that resemble energy shots on the market today." But Devlin said the company is most proud of its third product, Zoot Rocks. "The rocks are hard candies in lemongrass and cinnamon chili flavors, each individually infused with 5 milligrams of THC. Across the room, the pair of blenders were churning the concentrate, homogenizing the product, so each teaspoon had the exact same amount of THC," he said. "That's part of our commitment, from a safety perspective. People will know exactly what they're ingesting," Devlin said. "This is why I'm an advocate, is the product is better in a controlled and taxed environment. THC is extracted from the cannabis plants using the same process utilized for, say, vanilla extract," Devlin explained. "The company is able to extract 98% of the THC from the plant, and nearly all of the plant is used, save the thick stalks." Devlin admits that horticulture is not their strong suit. Compared to Monkey Grass Farms, a large grow operation in the central Washington community of Wenatchee, their grow operation looked sparse, the plants not quite as healthy. Devlin isn't sure what every strain is. Some are from seeds he collected back in the 1970s that they managed to germinate 40 years later. The company is hiring a gardener in November, who will oversee that aspect of operations, Devlin explained. But DB3 has only 5,000 square feet of marijuana canopy, and will purchase much of its marijuana, upwards of 150 pounds by midwinter, from other growers, he said. You can go as far as you can. Edible marijuana products have become a point of heated discussion in the debate over whether to legalize marijuana in Alaska. Opposition group Big Marijuana. Big mistake. Bono on 2 Inches has vehemently opposed edibles, saying packaging geared toward youth could entice children to consume the product. Adults may overdose on products that have heavy concentrations of THC, the group says, pointing to 2 deaths in Colorado possibly linked to edibles consumption. Those deaths were part of the reason Washington passed emergency regulations in late June clarifying regulations surrounding edibles. Colorado passed similar regulations in May. Now in Washington, all products, packaging and labeling, must be approved by the Washington Liquor Control Board. All packaging must be childproof, and products marketed to children are banned. Many foods, including fruit and vegetable juices, vinegars, and oils, and dairy products are not allowed to be infused with THC. These regulations put a damper on some producers, who had planned to market edibles with now banned ingredients. The maximum single serving for an edible is 10 milligrams of THC, Liquor Control Board spokesperson Mikhail Carpenter said. 10 servings are allowed per product. Serving sizes must be clearly labeled. The board has not faced much pushback on the tightened regulations, Carpenter said. 47 products had been approved in early October. Granola bars, caramel, sodas and pita chips are among the products given the go-ahead by the Washington Liquor Control Board. Such products worry Washington Poison Control Center Clinical Managing Director Dr. Alexander Garrard. So far this year, the center has received 68 calls of accidental consumption of marijuana products by youth, Garrard said, compared to 65 for all of 2013. Most of that exposure was due to ingestion, he said. About half the cases were children aged 12 and under. What we suspect is that as the supply increases, we are going to see that trend increase as well, Garrard said. Garrard said the responsibility to keep edibles out of the hands of children rests with the parents, yet unfortunately, oftentimes exposures occur because parents turn their back for 5 or 10 seconds. That's all it takes. Manufacturers also bear the responsibility because parents can only do so much, Garrard said. Devlin said the company is concerned about youth access. The one thing we all want to do is to keep it out of the hands of children and teenagers, Devlin said. He believes parents must be diligent to keep products away from children. Again, we believe that a regulated and taxed environment is the best way to be able to deal with it, Devlin said. Devlin said DB3's product had always been designed to be low-dose, so consumers have control over the experience. A year ago, people laughed at the idea of 5-milligram dosage, and as it's kind of come to bear, that ends up being one of the biggest issues out there, giving people access to the product in a way that doesn't put them on the floor, he said. For Devlin, 10 milligrams is relaxing, he compared it to 3 shots of tequila, but you don't feel that way, no slurred words, with an elevated feeling, he said. For his wife, 5 milligrams is too much, he said. Heavy users can take 100 milligrams, because their tolerance is just that high. You don't want to ignore that part of the market, he said. Devlin anticipates some situations where people consume too much. Unfortunately, when you have a new product that's coming out, and there is an individual responsibility part of it, you can go as far as you can to help people. We worry about people who are unfamiliar with the product and them not really doing the research themselves, Devlin said. A person who ate too much would be very, very uncomfortable through that night, but there appears to be very minor long-term effects, he added. It's just like alcohol, Devlin said. Who's going to drink half a fifth of liquor and not expect to be hugging the porcelain god? Consumers will quickly learn how much THC they can tolerate, Devlin said. Or, as the company says, people will learn what their zoot level is. Their edibles and concentrates were set to hit the market by the end of September, Patrick Devlin says. They have enough packaging ready in the warehouse to sell more than $1 million of product at wholesale price. Devlin said selling it won't take long. As Alaskans weigh whether to legalize recreational marijuana, the potential of a thriving edibles market is just one of the many issues to consider. A potential new industry brings with it questions of effective regulations, safety, and health, and enforcement. Alaskans head to the polls on November 4th.
Article number 2. Houston investors hope the legal marijuana industry will make them high. Take it away.
Houston investors hope the legal marijuana industry will make them higher. Alert source Texas Observer by Emily Deeprang. If you're going to host a conference at which entrepreneurs pitch marijuana-based products and services, you should definitely make sure your projection equipment is working. Otherwise, the young man describing his fast-acting, long-lasting, zero-calorie cannabis drink will lose legitimacy with every frustrated shake of the slide clicker. That would be true of any conference, but it's especially pertinent at an event where everyone is acutely aware of the need not to seem stoned. Fortunately, the Marijuana Investment Conference, held at the Swank West Houston Westin Hotel in early October, had legitimacy to spare. About 20 presenters took 10 minutes each to describe their businesses to investors who'd paid $1,000 to attend. Ideas were divided into touching the plant and not touching the plant, with most business plans involving significant distance from the ganja itself. One young men were abundant, introduced Massroots, his social network for the cannabis community, that already has 170,000 users, emphasizing its potential for harvesting profitable data. It's not paranoia if they're really spying on you. Another pitched an app that would let smokers order weed with the press of a button. Still others offered products meant for growers' greenhouse kits, lighting, fertilizer or consulting services, promising to use insider knowledge of the industry to vet other investment opportunities as they arise. Obviously, these products are meant to be sold where marijuana is legal, but investors were urged to anticipate the eventual opening of market after market, state by state, at which point getting a financial foothold will be much harder. Those steps toward legalization, tiny though they may seem, had Houston's investors, well, buzzing. The conference was originally scheduled for September, but was postponed when its founder, Stuart Maudlin, a Houston entrepreneur who became interested in medical marijuana after being diagnosed with throat cancer, took a turn for the worse. Maudlin died before he could see his dream take place, and his protege, Gold Darehood, a senior analyst at Codex Capital, took over. Who it says Houston might seem like a strange fit for the conference, at least compared with liberal Austin, but it's not. Investors here are used to the oil and biomedical industries, which are high risk and take years to realize a return. But the legal marijuana industry is growing so fast, she says, you can get a full return on capital in a year. People are willing to accept a higher degree of risk on the regulatory front if they're going to be able to have such expectations on capital and such very high returns. Houston is also home to the Baker Institute at Rice University, which has extensively researched marijuana policy, and to several pro-pot organizations including Republicans Against Marijuana Prohibition. And in October, the Harris County District Attorney's Office started a new program of offering first-time nonviolent offenders caught with small amounts of weed a choice between community service and an 8-hour class, rather than jail. If the program is completed, the charge will be scrubbed. Those steps toward legalization, tiny though they may seem, had Houston's investors, well, buzzing.
Article number 3. Cannapit will produce first American-grown hemp product. Take away.
Cannapit will produce first American-grown hemp product. Source Bet Product News. Cannabis Therapy Corporation, developer of phytocannabinoid-based medicinal products for humans and animals, recently announced that it passed for harvest inspection by the Colorado Department of Agriculture and subsequently harvested its first ever hemp crop. With less than 0.3% THC content, the hemp will be integrated legally into product development and commercial applications. The company plans to process the harvested hemp in part for use as an ingredient in the recently licensed Cannapit product lineup of animal supplements. As the fastest-growing provider of over-the-counter cannabinoid pet products in the world, Cannapit values our promising relationship with Cannabis Therapy Corporation, which now allows us to produce the first commercial products with American-grown hemp in over 60 years, said Dan Goldfarb, Cannapit LLC president. The American Pet Product Association, a leading trade association serving the interest of pet suppliers, estimates that overall expenditures in the pet industry climbed from $43.2 billion in 2008 to $55.72 billion in 2013. With about $22.6 billion spent on food and $13.7 billion spent on suppliers and OTC medications, Cannapit is uniquely positioned to capitalize on a largely untapped market.
All right, listeners, that's all I have for this episode. Until next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye.